Topic of the afternoon is not necessarily going to be comfortable for me to talk about or comfortable for you to hear, but I feel it's necessary for us to know about this and know how to deal with it. So this afternoon we're going to talk about modern day temptations. You know, this is a thing that I think we all struggle with, and I know I see a lot of things and many of you see things, and it's kind of opened my eyes, and I've been thinking about this for a while. And it's really crazy to see the things that go on in the world and the changing, the standard in the world that they think, you know, it's okay that we do these things. And I want you to know that it's not okay, the things that we're going to talk about. So we're going to open up in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So our topic of study, we're going to study for the most part in verse 16 of 1 John chapter 2. So we're going to see the types of temptations we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The definition of lust is to long after or to desire. You know, when I think about the lust of the flesh, it's things that we long after that pleases our body. It's pleasing to us and we desire it. For example, sexual sins, physical violence, drug usage, coveting of money, possessions, or other physical things that are not of God. You know, this evening, I'm a firm believer in telling you how it is when it comes to speaking the word of God, and I'm not going to stand before you and lie this afternoon. Sin is fun in the moment, and that's a big problem. That's why we have a problem with it. We wouldn't have a problem committing sin if it wasn't fun. But you know, after you commit that sin, it's fun in the moment. You get to the end of it, and you're thinking, man, that wasn't as fun as it seemed. Now we'll turn to Galatians 5 and 19. Starting there, we're going to read, says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So these things, the sins that we just read about, this is things that people desire, and it pleases them in the moment. But you know, in the end, that sin is not going to make us internally happy. You know, so many times people are searching for things that are going to make them happy here on the earth, but you're not going to find that peace in God until you're right with Him. So this afternoon there's many, many instances in the Bible that we can talk about that illustrate these temptations, but I want to go back to the story of Adam and Eve. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And I want to focus on the first part of that verse. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," we see here that the lust of the flesh is getting the best of Eve in the garden. You know, the flesh gets hungry and, the food looked good and outside influence, the devil came in and he said, "You know what? That food is good." And God told her, "Do not eat that food." But she obviously was influenced by someone else and she was hungry, so it was easier for her to eat that food. And in today's society, you know, we have, as I just talked about, we have all these temptations such as premarital sex, drugs, alcohol, and really the list could go on. Today that I'm talking about, This is touching the surface. But not only are these temptations, but they're sins when we commit them. And you know, got stuck again, getting used to this PowerPoint. God gives us a way of escape, and we're going to talk about that a little later, but that's something I've struggled with, is knowing how to get out of those situations, and I'm going to talk about some of that stuff. But I know one thing, that God and His Word provide an escape route in just any situation. And luckily, another thing I'll talk about later is using your parents. You know, I've got a bunch of kids on the football team. They like to party, and They'll ask me, you know, Tyson, you want to come out and come get drunk with us or something? And I just don't want to do it. And that's not right. And I say, no, my parents, they drug test me when I get home, or they blood test me. And that's not a lie. They actually do that. But it's really, I'm thankful that they let me throw them under the bus like that, and it helps me get out of hairy situations. Matthew chapter 26 verse 41 says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So prayer can help us overcome sin, and it can prevent us from acting on these temptations and committing them. My next point I want to make, lust of the eyes. You know, I would argue again that this is one of the main temptations that we struggle with in today's society. Going back to the story of Adam and Eve, we're going to look at the second part of that verse. It says, "And it was pleasant to the eyes." And as I said, that fruit looked good to her. The devil said, "This fruit is good to eat." And just because God said it wasn't good to eat, that doesn't mean that you can't eat it, because it looks good to her. And that's where the lust of the eyes is getting the best of Eve. You know, in today's society, I know cell phones are a big deal. Just ask my mom. She's on her cell phone all the time, taking pictures and stuff. But, you know, cell phones, they can be a great tool, as in taking pictures to hear my mom tell it. But, you know, there's such things. You have the world at your fingertips. And, say someone's addicted to pornography, you can look at that kind of stuff at any time you want to. And that can be a real addiction and a real problem for somebody. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." As we see here in this verse, we're told that if we persevere through the hard times, we will receive that home in heaven with God. And we need to remember that we're not the only ones being tempted. And when we are being tempted, I find it really motivating to think, you know, that's the devil tempting me. That's not God tempting me, you know. That makes me want to fight back at it more when I know it's the devil tempting me. My third point I want to make is the pride of life. And again, I would argue this is a big problem for me. And you're probably seeing a pattern here. I think I made this lesson for myself. But there's a difference in the kind of prides that we think about. There's a pride that God hates, and the kind of pride we feel about a job well done. The kind of pride that comes from self-righteousness is sin, and God hates it. Going back to that verse in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "And the tree to be desired to make one wise." We see the final point in this verse, that Eve thought that fruit of that tree was going to make her wise, and she was seeking that wisdom. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." We're going to read the parable of the sower, starting in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Now here I believe it's explained really well the different types of people when it comes to hearing the word of God and persevering through the temptation. The first group we see is the group that fall on the wayside. And then the second group is those which fall on the rock and hear the word of God, and they receive it, but they're not doers. You know, I've been raised in the church, and I hear all the time in prayer, you know, they say, "Let us be hearers and doers, not only hearers." And I believe that's an important thing when it comes to hearing the word of God and persevering through temptations. It says a third group fell among the thorns and were choked with the things of this world. They were caught up in all the riches of this world, the materialistic things that are not going to matter when judgment day comes, because God cares about you being obedient to Him. You know, I think that's a big thing, at least for me, is, you know, in high times, I would say, when times are going good, I don't pray near as much, and that's a big problem. And you bet your bottom dollar when things are rough, I'm going to pray, because I want to get out of those rough times. But I think we all might have a problem with that, and we need to get better about that. So we're going to talk about some symptoms of pride. The first would be a harsh spirit, speaking of others as sin and contempt with irritation or frustration. Being superficial, or when pride lives in our hearts, we are far more concerned with the way others see us than the reality of our hearts. Desperation for attention. Neglecting others. You know, sometimes pride can get in the way. And as you heard when Jeff was here, I think that was a big thing in the split of that church, is pride was in the way. And they thought, you know, this is our way, and we're proud of it, and we're going to do it this way. And that can be a big problem in many things, not just in the church, but in temptation, as we're talking about today. You know, pride is giving ourselves credit when the credit is due to God. And I always pray before I get up here and speak, you know, don't do this for you, do this for God, because that's, in the end, that's what we're supposed to do. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." You know, Jesus was tempted in many ways, as we see right here. And I can't honestly say with an honest heart that if I was put in that situation that I wouldn't have bowed down to the devil. And that's scary to me, you know. I should be able to stand strong. And I'm not trying to compare myself to Jesus, but we should be strong in what we believe in the church. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus went before us and he set a perfect example, and we couldn't have any better example. But he went before us, he was tempted just as we are, as the Bible tells us, and he was perfect through it. John chapter 16, starting in verse 25, says, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from the God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. As I talked about earlier in my lesson, I said that, you know, people look to worldly things for joy and peace. And at the brotherhood meeting, that was a big thing. The theme of it was finding peace. And I'll give you an honest answer right here. As I said, you're not going to find joy or peace unless you're right with God. Now make no mistake that it's not a sin to enjoy some of the pleasures in life. You know, God made food good to taste, and I can tell by some of the bobbing heads that food was good. But there's nothing wrong with looking at those things until you lust after those things and you covet those things. Then it becomes a sin. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 13, says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but you will be with the temptation, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So how can we escape? God gives us the answers. Number one, be in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says, "For as many of you has been baptized into Christ, ye have put on Christ." Number two, remember God's promises. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "For not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Number three, use the word. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And lastly, number four, physically flee. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 11 and 12 says, "And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." There's nothing wrong with just leaving the situation. In fact, I think in some situations that may be the best thing you can do. But you know, there's always a great escape. That's what we strive for. That's what we live for. We're looking for that great escape on that final day when God has called us among his faithful. Now, I entitled my lesson this afternoon, Modern Day Temptations. But as you see, temptations have been around since the beginning of the earth. And, you know, temptations are a hard thing, I know, for me. And I'm sure temptations are hard for you. Some of you don't take offense to that, but it's something we can always get better at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 2, it says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." You need to be right with God, folks. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised 5 minutes from now. We need to be right with God.